Foxtrot 4, Lima Victor, Belton, South Carolina. For LB is clear.
LGR.
6CLX.
CLX and 0TR. The name here is Tom. Good morning.
Morning, Tom. Name here is Mike. We've talked before, but it's been, it's been a long time.
Hear you again, Mike. I kind of remember that call, but I was thinking of Patrick up there, but I know his call is different. But it's nice to hear you this morning. Oh, I'm just headed to a doctor's appointment, and just left home, and boy, it's beautiful out here, but this afternoon proves to be a little dicey as far as the storms go.
Norm lately. It is beautiful out here. It's cool enough I put the air down a little bit more in the car here on the way to work, so I can cool off a little.
Well, I'm glad I've terminated that four-letter word, W-O-R-K, and have been enjoying our retirement. The wife's been sick the last few days, and I made her take a couple of Tylenol the nighttime ones last night, and she slept good, and she feels much better this morning. Boy, I was worried about her. She's never sick. She's a farm girl from Kansas, and it's just very unusual, and they give her an antibiotic, some stuff. She had dry heaves for no reason, but not this morning, and thank God for that.
I had that a couple weeks ago. I thought I got some bad food, but it just happened, and I haven't really felt good since.
I'm sort of glad to hear that. Maybe it's some kind of virus or something going around, because Bernice is never ever sick, and she sleeps through the night, which I never do, and she's not been doing that. And if you don't rest well, it's hard to get over things. And thank God for the doctors too and all they do. I took her to urgent care, and the doctor was very thorough down at Prisma Health, and then the next day I took her to her family doctor. They had an open appointment, and they concluded about the same thing and gave her some stuff for upset stomach and an antibiotic. But antibiotics don't work overnight. Sometimes they take several days. But I hope she's on the downhill slide. Well, I'll tell her about that. She's went down to water the chickens right now. All she's got to do is turn a faucet on. But that might make her feel even better, Mike. Thank you.
It just came out of middle of nowhere. I mean, woke up middle of the night feeling kind of rough. And that happened. Really can't answer what it was. Wife didn't get it, but I had it. And this past weekend, I started getting stuffy, head cold kind of stuff. And I'm still stuffy, and my right ear is ringing like crazy. So definitely something is out there. I don't know if it's this rain is causing mold or what.
Well, there's a good point. It could be. Her allergies have been a little bit worse lately. I take some of that pseudoephedrine stuff once in a while, but not on a regular basis. I have a heart problem that precludes me taking some things. But that was one of the first things they looked for was they said, have you been out to eat or, you know, food poisoning? And Bernice loves to cook, and she's a very fine chef, and we very rarely go out to eat. Once in a while, we'll go to Little Rebel or something. And that's a good way to get it, though, is go out to eat. I'm sorry to say, but it does happen. I remember DJW saying one time his wife got food poisoning from Wendy's chili. And, you know, I really like Wendy's chili. But I've kind of shied away from it since then.
See, and that day I got sick, we went out and had Burger King at lunch, and so I said, okay, we're not doing that again. But it may not have been that, because we both had it.
I know how Wendy's makes their chili. They take the hamburger from the day before, and they're in cubes, and they're little flat patties, and they break them all up, because a lot of times you'll get chunks of them in the chili. So maybe they wait a little too long on that chili they've got. I don't know. The sun is bright. Well, I-85 was absolutely blocked up down at 56 this morning there, where 14 crosses 85, and they get off. Semi-truck, and then some cars were involved, but didn't look like anything real serious, but that traffic was blocked up beyond belief, so I hope it isn't really bad up here on Wade Hampton, because that's usually the abort path that they'll take.
I got on 85 at 14 going north, so I avoided all that. Thank goodness. I work in Spartanburg, so left the house kind of late. I'll be a half hour late for work, but no big deal. Just work an extra half hour.
There you are. So what are you going to work on today? What kind of problems you got, Mike?
Thanks. Say it again, Tom. This ringing ear, that did it. I couldn't hear.
Yeah, wife has tinnitus or tinnitus, whatever you call it, real bad. I have it some. Thankfully not as bad as hers. But we got her some hearing aids several years ago. And then got a new pair here in the last year. And the doctor did look in her ears and say she had a little bit of fluid on her right ear, I think it was. One of the two, obviously. But they said she had a slight urinary tract infection, and so that's why they give her the antibiotics. But I don't think that would make her nauseous, but they said it could, and they said your ears can make you nauseous, too. I had a bad problem with an ear. It's been about 2 years ago, and it drove me nuts. And it practically went deaf in one side. Well, Mike, I just wondered what you was going to work on today. This is Andrew LTR. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got several customers. My biggest problem is this world can't seem to get it back together again after all that COVID stuff. So all the deliveries are delayed, and so I've got one customer that's ordered 2,500 fans for a project revamp in a high rise in New York City, and I can't get motors. I just can't get the motors, so we've reconfigured, went to a different motor, and I'm just, it's been heck, but I think we've got a plan. It just can't be the plan they want, but it'll be a plan.
This is Angel T.R. with the Man on the Mountain. Well, Mike, what kind of motors you use? Emerson, Baldor, General Electric, and are they undoubtedly, if they're small fans, they're fractional horsepower, but I don't know what kind you're using, split phase or permanent split phase capacitor starts, or what type you put in them?
Small tangential fans, we typically use either a split, single phase split capacitor, run start capacitor, or on the DC side we use a brushless DC motor, and they're all in the 30, 40, 50 watt era. They're all fractional, very small, but the problem is that 24 volt motor, and they just cannot get the, since they're brushless, they use an IC pack in there to generate the pulses, and they can't get their chips, so we're having to switch to a different motor.
motors or permanent phase capacitor motors are excellent. I run one in our basement all the time in, I forget what it is, a quarter horse or something like that. But it only pulls just slightly over 1 amp, and so that's real great efficiency. I've had it many, many years. It's 18 inch. It's bigger. I built it myself, but my brother used to reach them from a woodworking place, and they'd burn them up, and they'd just replace them. And he'd rebury them. But that kind of keeps the air stirred up down in the basement. When I go down there at night to do my radio stuff, I usually turn it off and turn one of those little old squirrel cage fans on the floor. It's very, very quiet. But yeah, everything's that way. Now, that's probably, if that used an integrated circuit in it, it's probably an inverter type chip that runs your 24 volts AC, I'm pretty sure. It could be DC. Either way, now if this guy quits texting in front of me, we'll get to going. But, yeah, I used to deal with that a lot. But most of the things I dealt with, Mike, was 483 phase 99% of the time.
We sell fans with three phase. You know, we make everything in Germany, so it's all universal motors. So they're all going to be Delta 600, I think, and Y 400 volts. So it'll all work on 480, 340, 600, the whole thing.
Well, I dealt with some 575 volt ones one time. I think there were 600 horse altogether on this thing that pulled the barges into the dock or something out there in Los Angeles, and I had to wire the system, and I had help, of course, but it was 575. They use that a lot up in Canada. What company, may I ask, do you work for down here, Mike?
The name of the company is LTG, very small company. Our office here, we've got six people total, including the president and me. And over in Germany, it's under 200 people. Very small company. Half the business is HVAC equipment for commercial businesses. It's coils, induction coils and fan coils for commercial HVAC, plus the accessories that go with it. And then on my side, the industrial fans, tangential fans, and dust collection equipment. The dust collection equipment's specifically for dust with high amounts of fiber. And that's why we're in Spartanburg, because we're selling those for years into the textile.
Well, I had to deal a little bit with those, but they were suction fans on the tool room dust and stuff, which had more metal particulate in it, I'm sure. And then I worked at a wheel plant, and they had some huge filtration systems that I had to service also. I worked maintenance 50 years, so I've seen a little bit of everything. But it's still very interesting to me, Mike.
My degree is in mining engineering, but I've been in sales, never really in engineering. I've always been a sales engineer, 40 years. Sold it all, from power transmission equipment to gearboxes to bearings, now fans, seals. Sold a lot of seals. Sold it all.
Roger, this is NZLTR. Well, I did a lot of mine power equipment also in our company that I worked for 32 years after I got out of service. And we built the feeders and the ball mills, the huge, huge equipment. And anything involving coal mine, we'd had coal dryers. It was under a patent from Germany. And I'd always have to hook all the larger motors up. They were all up to 100 horse, usually 483 phase. I had to make the test rigs that would run these things, and made it very interesting. I might get a little bit scratchy, Mike. I'm over here headed down towards that Pleasantburg stoplight down there on Wade Hampton, and down through this one little hill here, it gets a little dicey because of the shadow of Paris Mountain. Over.
You're a little noisy, but not bad. It's more picket fencing than anything. Not even really picket fencing, it's just a little fade in and out, but totally readable. I guess one of the most interesting jobs I had in the past was I worked for General Electric in the repair department, so I was selling repairs to medium and high voltage equipment, circuit breakers, generators, motors, steam turbines, gas turbines. That was pretty interesting work. I was down in New Orleans and running up and down the river going into all the petrochemical plants.
Coming out of this hill here from Scratchy. Oh boy, that sounds right down my alley. I love the mining industry. There's some big equipment moving in front of me here, and it's slowing me down immensely. I got to switch lanes here, Mike. And, every once in a while they'd send me out to coal mine. We wired the panel boxes to allow one man to run the whole coal mine. So you can imagine the immense size of those panel boxes. They were GIC boxes, and they were huge. It was general purpose control back then, not PLCs. And then we evolved into the PLC business, where we had to wire those cockeyed things. But I never did a lot of that. I just kind of got in on the beginning of the technology. So it got rid of a lot of relaying and that. We're going to get stopped here. That was rather rapid, and everybody else is going by. I don't understand that.
Yeah. He just reminded me of something my brother told me a few months back, but finally sold off Mom and Dad's house in Arizona. Lost Dad 20 years ago, and Mom's now in a nursing home, 95, so we sold the house to help with her expenses. And when they were selling the house, the realtor made a comment about the gate. One of the gates didn't work, and my brother said, yeah, my brother's the only person in the world that knows how to fix that. All the controls in that gate were all relay logic. Real easy to work on, but if you don't know what you're looking at, you're going to be scratching your head.
Not only is it scratching your head, I had a machine made by Hillier Corporation up in New Jersey, and it was made in the late 60s, and it had binary-coded discs that there were rhodium and palladium contacts in them, and these spinning wheels would pick up relays in binary banks. And I had one panel, not counting the generator panel, that had 729 four-pole double-throw ice cube relays in it, Mike. And talk about headaches.
Holy mackerel, I didn't succeed like to keep up with the mountain. That must have been a rat nest of wire in there, and that's when it's all organized.
Yeah, it was well wired. I didn't have any problem with that. It was like we did on the panel box. We all square bins and everything and stranded wire. But the one you really had problems with was the old ones, like that 27-foot boring mill. It had square bins, but it was all solid wire. And as you know, something gets vibration like a 27-foot boring mill, eventually those wires are going to work hard and then break. And that would drive you up the walls, because it was Swedish Amplitude 100,000-watt the generating set, and it was 480 volts in DC, and it had four exciters on it. But the Hillier, it was a nightmare because it was like a circuit board with fingers that went down on it that went around and picked up these little pads that actually picked up those ice cube relays. Well, when you pick up an ice cube relay, that's an inductive load, and so you have a counter electromotive force, and they generate a little bit of an arc. And when you get a little bit of an arc, you get carbonization, and then that in turn cause carbon tracks across those little pads. You're probably the only one I ever talked to that would understand what I'm saying.
Exactly what you're talking about. I still work on 3/4 of my ham equipment is all tube operated.
Yeah, we had that too. The generating sets way up into the 80s that I repaired were thyrotrons, and the tubes were like a foot tall, and they had 600 volts on the anodes.
Carbon tracking, and you open up that panel, it probably stunk like heck, too. That's the smell of money, though. That and paper being made, that's the smell of money. Well, I'm just about to work here, Tom. Still, I've been working 4 years now on an old Swan 6-meter rig, and it's driving me crazy. I got everything working except the transmit mixer tube, 12 BE6. I don't know if the levels are wrong going in or what. They just don't mix. So I'm in the middle of test. I had to build a tube tester to test it, though. So I'm in the middle of testing it then.
Did you build a thermionic emission or a mutual conductance tester?
I built a laboratory quality. I built a emissions tester and also tests for shorts. That's the first test, just to make sure the tube's not shot. Now, what the test I've got it set up on, it's a high voltage power supply going to a high voltage tube run regulator, dual channel, so I can maintain screen and plate voltage accurately. And then I've got a low voltage 30 volt power supply. I'm going to run all my all the grid, the two grids, got to run different voltages across the grid and watch the screen voltage and see if it lays in on the curves that it's got.
That would really stretch my mind. It's been so many years. Well, like a very smart man once told me, I had a L4B Drake. It was a 2,000 watt input to it. It put out 1,500. And it had the big tubes in it that burned. I can't remember the number right this second. In a little bit of traffic here downtown. But he said, Tom, I don't want to read about you in the newspapers. There's a lot of dead inside that box. Don't get hurt. And I had to rebuild the power supply, and I put a lot of hours in it. It actually worked. I was very proud of myself. But it was a beautiful old amp, but I got rid of it and got the solid-state amp instead. I got an Ameritron ALS 1200, I think it is, solid state. I mean, it works. It's just lovely not to have to sit there and tune that thing up.
The shame is I enjoy working and building the equipment more than I enjoy getting on it and talking on it. I don't know why. But that's just what it's become.
Well, I worked Monaco last night. I was kind of proud of myself. I didn't have it on 30 meters. I had Monaco on two other bands, 20 and 40. But my gracious me, oh my, you ought to have seen the pileup, because there's not been much DX on lately. And I had to use my band scope and that. And I was using CW, of course. And there was only like three of us, a Russian and one other guy in New York and me, that had actually on the whole screen on QRZ. we were the only ones showing that it worked at Monaco station. And I could understand that because the split was there, of course, and it was fun trying to figure out where the split was. And I got him last night. So I got another band filler anyways, Mike.
I got to get back into CW. Did it in my early days, and then, I don't know, with these ringing ears, it makes it tough. It's been making it hard on me, too. My brother-in-law just got into this. I mean, I've been at Ham since 79. He got his first ticket 2 years ago, and he's now got his extra. I finally got my extra in 21, but come on. And then, on top of everything else, he lives on 65 acres in South Mississippi, and he's got his antenna. He didn't know what he was doing, but he put just an end-fed antenna up through the trees, sneaking through the trees, and I helped him put a ground rod down, but evidently, I'll let this drop so the radio doesn't drop. He's got water running underneath his property right there into his pond. On 100 watts over the last year, he's been working anywhere from Asia down to Australia, all the way into the other direction, into Ukraine and Russia. He can work them all. People think he's lying when he's talking to these people. He'll make 10, 12 contacts a night in DX.
Well, I have three wire antennas, and I can also do that. Now, the propagation, if it's there, you definitely can, because I worked over 250 countries up in Kansas, and I just had 100 watts. I never owned an amplifier until I come down here. But when you're trying to break into a pile-up, it helps a lot. But I even worked Heard Island on 100 watts two or three times, and it was a real pile-up on that one. That was way before this last Heard Island de-extradition. I just been ham since 93, but I did have to pass the 20-word-a-minute Morse code to get the extra. And that takes a lot of extra work from what it is now. The tests are pretty hard now, they say. But you add 20 words a minute to that, and that cuts the chaff from the wheat.
Well, exactly. Separated the men from the boys. I never got up to 20. I was stuck at between 13 and 17. I passed the general code test and the extra written, so I was advanced. I was advanced since 96. I was just stuck there, but I finally got the extra now. I'm going to have to go. I have to go in, go to work. Four-letter word. But I'll talk to you later, Tom, and good luck with your doctor's appointment and the traffic that might be out there. And you have a good day. I'll stick around for your last bit, N6CLX.
Business, Mike. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this particular appointment, but in another way I am. My doctor that I really like is retiring, and this is her last day. So I got lucky and got in. And we got to see what happens with these test results. So you know how it is when you get old, pills and bills. You take care, Mike. The pleasure's all mine. I certainly did enjoy it this morning. In 60LX, I am within about a mile of my destination, so that worked out great. Mine. In 60LX, in 0TR, 73.
TRKB4CBA.
Well, good morning, Dave. I just missed getting you a couple days ago. I haven't been able to meet up with you here just by timing. Hope you're doing fine.
Good. I'm just pulled into the sports club. I'm going to play some tennis this morning and this afternoon and tonight, and if it doesn't rain. Anyway, I found a Wednesday morning that needed some more players, so this is kind of new to me, but I'm not used to getting out of bed this early.
Yeah, well, I had to get up at 6:30 and get ready to go to this appointment, and I'm about 5 minutes out. I'm sitting here at the Sphinx, Henry Dale Drive? Over there by the big Greer Memorial Hospital. Yeah, the weather this afternoon, this forecast is pretty dicey, Dave, so it'd be something to have a heads up on anyways. Bernice has felt bad, and I finally give her some Tylenol, nighttime Tylenol last night, and she's got an antibiotic, and she's feeling a lot better this morning, so we'll hope that works out all right.
My wife's still recovering from her surgery, so she's getting there. I think another week or two, she'll be out of that boot, and she'll be able to get around a lot better. But anyway, well, I got to jump out of here. I just want to say hello, and you have a good, I hope you get a good report from the doctor there, and I hope you have a good rest of the day if I don't get to talk to you. But anyway, so I'll say 73s, and I'll stick around for your final N0TRKB4CPA.
Well, it worked out great. Just pulling in here. And hope your wife gets better. I had, three or four surgeries to my foot, and it still hurts this day. So I hope she does better than I do. And I'll talk to you down the line. KB4 CBA and 0 TRs clear and QRT.